We're here. I'm Ellen Thurston.
I'm Debbie Mayer.
And she's Judy Grunberg.
Yeah. Yes, we're delighted to have Judy Grunberg as our guest today on the Thursday afternoon show.
And Judy Grunberg is delighted to be with
you. Thank you. Good.
How are things going up there in Chatham, New York?
Things are going amazingly well. I'm pleased to report.
Good. The season for PS21, Performance Spaces for the 21st Century, has already started.
It has started, yeah. We did actually start late this year. Our first performance was July 15th, so mm-hmm. we've only been at work for less than 2 weeks.
Stay at the mic. We can't make eye contact.
Oh.
We have to stay at the
mic.
Oh,
right, stay at the
mic.
Okay. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so here we are again. That's the beginning of our 12th season. Overnight success, as you can see. It's taken a while.
And Judy, you're planning to build a building, right?
We have built a building, believe it or not.
Yeah, talk about the building.
Oh, my gosh. well, we are almost finished. Anybody who comes up to the site can actually see it. They can't really go in unless they do it kind of on the sly. So I didn't say that. You can look at it. You can see the shape of it. And we are expecting to have a gala opening in the fall sometime in October.
Oh, wonderful.
So we'll see. You know, we're sort of treading water, but we have such a great season that I guess we can't be sorry that we're under the tent for one last year.
Right.
I always liked the tent a lot.
People do. People like it. People have often asked me, can we have the tent too?
Uh-huh.
And my answer is, number one, no, we can't because of the town board has told us that once we have a building, we cannot have a second venue.
Oh, that's
and the other reason is we probably couldn't afford it because it's expensive to mm-hmm. maintain a tent and put it up and take it down.
What?
So we'll be sorry. We'll miss it. But I want everybody to know that you have one more chance this year to see that, to be under the tent.
The only thing mm-hmm. I don't like about the tent is there are occasionally mosquitoes.
There are occasionally mosquitoes, but I would have to say that any place that is partly outdoors is going to have some of those pesky creatures.
This is probably true.
You know, even if you're on the, if you're on the lawn of Tanglewood, I would imagine mm-hmm. there would be mosquitoes. There will probably be fewer mosquitoes in our new site, but it will still be open on the sides in
oh,
the
really?
Summer.
Cool.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
nice.
I see.
Yeah. And I find that you have such good mosquito repellent.
We do.
You pass out mosquito repellent.
Yes.
And
you?
Blankets.
Oh, blankets.
I remember the blankets.
We have, what do we call them? They're, what are those things? Wraps? Wraps?
Yeah.
Maybe they're more like wraps.
Fleece wraps.
Fleece wraps mm-hmm. in the color of your choice.
Yes.
And we make it. We will certainly continue to have those. But as far as the mosquitoes go, I just bought some very interesting bracelets to put on sale at our refreshment table.
Uh-huh.
They are non-toxic. They mm-hmm. are those springy kind of, you know, plastic-looking kind of uh-huh. things that look mm-hmm. like a little slinky.
Mm-hmm.
But they swear that they keep mosquitoes away and that they're non-toxic. And you can put them back in their little container. They will last for many, many hours. So we're going to try.
Excellent.
Because we don't want people to miss the programming just because of, you know, the fear of mosquitoes.
About a mosquito. Yeah,
so,
yeah,
right.
Come on. And yes, well, let's talk about art.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Ask me questions.
Okay.
Did you opened the season with the Paul Grunberg Memorial Bach Concert?
No, that
no,
was last week.
The first year it didn't open with that.
Exactly,
yeah.
Debbie. What a good memory.
Yeah.
It's the first year we haven't opened with that. It's mm-hmm. true. And that is because we wanted so much for Simona Dinnerstein to come and play the Goldberg Variations. And the evening that she could do it was the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So
there
that's
you are.
Why we yeah. had her.
That's when the art
And
happened.
I will have to say, I'm still under the spell of that evening.
Oh,
an hour and a half of unbroken keyboard playing, and I have never seen an audience as entranced or enthralled. There was not a peep. Mm. And for some, you know, reason, Mother Nature held back on the rain, and Mother Conrail held back on the freight trains that go through there. So we didn't have that. And I just, I knew she was going to be wonderful, but I had no idea how moving the whole experience was going to be for the audience. So I will say that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But we opened with Alicia Spiegels, who is the amazing klezmer fiddle player. You probably have heard her or of her. And that was an amazing performance as well. So we've been pretty much almost sold out at every event. I mean, we've had really good audiences. So I you know, I'm very pleased.
Good. Now, I was thinking about it. You know, you started, you have the theme of immigration this year, this summer. A lot of the programs are relevant to immigration. And I was wondering, when do you plan your programming? And did you plan it that far in advance? Did you know it was what you would want? Do you see what I'm
I think
I'm
maybe
going?
It was serendipity.
It was just serendipity?
No, I think this is what actually happened, Debbie. Most years, as you remember, we have a Tuesday. We have what we call the Movie Tuesdays, which means that every Tuesday we have either a dance or a music movie. And then over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, we've had a week of a theme. And, you know, that's sort of been the way. Now, people have often said, oh, well, it's hard for us to come out every night for a whole week. So we can't get. And then because we started late this year, we would not have had a week to do a theme.
Oh, okay.
So
right,
we said,
you're not
okay,
doing
we're going to have a theme.
Right.
And for some reason, it just came to me. You know, you begin to think we've done all different things. We've done family. We've done small town life. We've done humor. Which is hardly a theme. I mean, you can hardly, you know, but we've done food.
That's right.
What else have we done? We've done, last year was architecture.
Oh, right.
And then remember trains? That was fun. We had trains. So, which is all, you know, it all seemed pretty relevant. But this year I thought, you know, there are some big things going on in the world, and let's take something a little more serious. And it just sort of came to me, and it turned out that
there's a lot of material out
there. There's a lot of material. Not only that, but the two plays, the two readings that we've had were on that topic as well.
Well, is that serendipity
together.
Or it, well, planning? That's what I was curious about.
I actually don't really know. I think I think there were a bunch of things, and we chose those because they did seem to be relevant. You know how things happen. You don't really realize until later that there is a theme to this, that there's a structure. And I sort of like that. I mean, I'd like to have the idea. Oh, I know that the year that we did Our Town, the play Our Town, that was the year that we had movies about small town life. And we did that purposely. I'm trying to think of other years that we've done things. Well, I think it's very good to give people a focus. You know, things are so crazy and frittered nowadays. And nobody can make sense of anything. And everything is so disorganized. I sort of like the idea of having something solid to focus on. And maybe that's why we're doing it. Although I would have to say, I'm glad for those of you who did not come out for El Norte last Tuesday night. Thank goodness you didn't, number one, because our machine kind of broke down. It was freezing, so we had very few people in the audience, even though we were all bundled up, those of us who were brave enough to you know, come out in the cold. But then something happened to our projector, and we had to cancel for the first time in our 12 years a movie, in you know, towards the beginning of the movie. But people are so good-natured. Unfortunately, there were only like 8 people there. And then we were like, we're so sorry. You know, have some free popcorn. I mean,
I was going to say, was there leftover popcorn?
Well, it was a little bit. So we said, have free popcorn. And nobody came, thank goodness, you know, more than maybe 20 minutes to go to see them. But I think we fixed the projector, so not to worry.
Okay. let's
see what's up.
Next week,
Let's see what's up. Well, you know, we started out with a more humorous take, which was the Moscow on the Hudson that you may have seen.
I love that movie.
Which is Robin Williams. And that was pretty funny. El Norte, I gather, was very serious. But next week we have The Immigrant. I have not seen this. It's Marion Cotillard. She's playing a Polish woman. And the other person in the movie is... who is it?
Phoenix.
Oh, Joaquin Phoenix. Yes. I guess he's pretty well known. So it's kind of a star cast.
Cute, too, yeah.
And I think it's going to be interesting. And then there's the next week is Avalon, you may remember. It's,
yes.
That's kind of funny about a Polish-Jewish family coming to the U.S. at the beginning of the century. Mm-hmm. And then there's The Visitor, which is the same guy that directed The Station Agent. I don't know if you remember that. That's another film I haven't seen.
I love The Station Agent.
And yeah. And then Strozek
yeah.
by one of my absolute all-time favorites, Werner Herzog, that mm-hmm, who I think is absolutely brilliant. And again, I haven't seen this. Generally speaking, I've seen most of the films, but in this mm-hmm. case, you sort of have to rely on what you read about them mm-hmm. And just sort of hope that they will be good enough to present. And of course, our films are free, so we can't say, well, we'll give you your money back.
Right. Yeah, you didn't have to give anyone their money back on Tuesday.
Exactly, yes, exactly. Okay. I always joke and tell them that, but
yeah.
they, you know, but they got a little extra
and
to
the
eat.
Name, the
right.
namesake.
The namesake is I think, going to be quite interesting as well. Miraner, and that is about sort of, that's about an Indian family. Mm-hmm. So we've got people from sort of all over the world, and mm-hmm. even though some of these films are quite old, the problems that are the same, only now we've come mm-hmm. into this crucial situation where things are getting worse. So
yes.
I hope that this gets people, you know, to think about this, not mm-hmm. that we don't have it in our ears every minute of every day. So that's what we have, and I think people sort of like the idea of coming once a week to see these mm-hmm. instead of
yeah.
crowding them into 5 days in a row. Where,
yes.
You know, and everybody is so busy. It's really... Oh, last night, I must tell you, out in the grass, we had this... Do you know Meadowee Theater? Meadowee River Theater
mm-hmm.
Company? Mm-hmm. They don't like to be on the stage. They like to be out in a natural setting. Mm-hmm. They were among the apple trees mm-hmm. in the orchard. It was a magical evening.
Mm.
A lot of little children sitting on blankets. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely lovely. And I love the idea of using other parts of the site because, you know, mm. we have this,
yes, you
this
have
75
a big
pretty acres.
Yes, definitely.
And
if, in case you've just joined us, what we're talking about is PS 21 in Chatham. On Route 66, and that's where the beautiful Apple Meadow is, and where the movies are on free movies on Tuesday night. Okay, Judy right. Grunberg, go on.
And it's going to be, and I, as you probably have noticed from your traveling, this is going to be a great apple year, everybody. I mean, not just for
that's
us,
what
but
I
for
hear.
Everybody. The trees are heavy with apples, not ripe yet. But
yeah.
Our apples, I would have to say, are really good because nobody has sprayed this orchard for 45 years
yeah.
or
yeah.
something. So they are absolutely fabulous.
I've heard that the fruit growers are saying that finally this is a season where they think they're going to have really good, crops.
I absolutely
I
true.
Mean, I missed peaches last year.
Well, yes, we missed everything.
Yeah.
I don't think there was very
no
much
apricots.
Local. No, there are very few apricots anyway, I find.
Oh, don't really?
You?
It's a short season.
I wish
yeah,
people would
is.
Grow more apricots, mm-hmm. but that's a whole other conversation, girls. We can have that conversation. But anyway, we have a privilege for our members. They can come and pick all the apples they want.
Oh, that's right.
And which means if you like things like applesauce and apple butter and apple Betty and apple streusel and
apple pie
mm-hmm. and apple crumb cake. We could go on. If
yes,
you like those sorts of foods, you can come and pick bushels of apples and at free of charge, of course, as part of your membership. And... of course, last year we planned to have this sort of apple celebration in September. Well, I mean, it was sort of pathetic since there were no apples, you know. But this year I think we'll do something in the orchard and maybe get a press and have some kids, you know, pressing apples and making cider and, you know, music in the orchard and that sort of thing. You know, because we like to take advantage of our rural setting, which
yeah.
not everybody is fortunate enough to have. You know, they have other things like no mosquitoes, but they don't have a rural setting.
I'll take the mosquitoes if I can have apples.
Oh, well. And the other thing that's odd is, you know, we usually have a lot of geese walking around. Mm. And I haven't seen a lot this year. And usually, maybe they'll come out when the apples start falling to the ground.
I was going to say, were they there for the apples?
They have originally? In other years. But this year, we used to be inundated with geese. I mean, it was sort of awful because they made some squawky noises at times that were inconvenient.
Yes.
But let me talk a little bit about this weekend. I don't know how much more time we have.
Oh, we have plenty of time.
Yes, oh, we do. All right. Well, this weekend, Rory Block, whom you know is a local treasure and also a national and international treasure and who lives in our area, has curated a whole weekend of blues, which we're calling it Rory Block's Gospel and Blues Fest weekend.
Wonderful.
And starting on Friday night, tomorrow night, I believe that is, at 8 p.m., we have the Campbell Brothers, amazing group, steel guitar, and they do African all kinds of African-American music, but they have performed at Lincoln Center and the Hollywood Bowl, and they do steel playing, and they do all kinds of high-energy rhythm stuff, electric guitar, regular guitar, drums. I think there are five of them, even though some pictures show six of them. But I think there might be five Campbell Brothers. And they're starting off at the weekend at 8 o'clock. But then we have Rory Block and Cindy Cash Dollar, who are calling themselves the Sisters of Slide.
Ah.
And they are, and Rory, you know, is a five-time Blues Music Award winner. And Cindy Cash Dollar is a Texas Music Hall of Fame person. And the two of them have a show that they do together. That
is she the blonde?
She's the blonde, right. And they both have this very long hair, at least according
Doesn't
to the
Doesn't it
photos.
Get stuck in the guitar strings?
I don't know. I think maybe guitar players have to have long hair for some reason. Sort of like flute players. I don't know what it is. But anyway, they have they're doing this wonderful program on Saturday night. They don't even want printed programs. I think these guys will just wing it and do whatever. But I should add that Rory is holding a guitar workshop on Saturday. I believe it's at 10 in the morning. Now, you may not know this, but Rory owns the church in Chatham Center. And she calls it Church Live because she has occasionally had jazz concerts there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the
Chatham Center.
It's the at the old Methodist church on that little corner in Chatham Center. Anyway, that is where she's holding her guitar workshop. It's a charming church, and that's the only time. That and then the Sunday afternoon Gospel Fest will be there. Everything else is under the tent. Mm-hmm. And the Gospel Fest is a great idea of Rory's, where she is a member of the Gospel Choir at the AME Church in Chatham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's been with them for a long time, a wonderful group of people. And she has invited them and some other church choirs to join in this fest of gospel singing. At the church on Sunday afternoon, which I think is going to be really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
And we're not charging for it. It'll just be, if you want to offer something, a donation, and there will be refreshments. And I think it's going to be a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon in church. So that's this weekend.
That's this weekend.
And
that all sounds like great fun, I must say.
And then, after this weekend, now we begin our annual Chatham Dance Fest.
Serious stuff.
And for those who don't know, Judy Grunberg is the queen of dance here in Columbia County. Mm-hmm. She's devoted herself to it. She loves it so much. And she's been doing it for years and bringing wonderful people here.
Yes, wonderful programs.
And now there's dance kind of all around us.
More dance. We're happy to be part of it. We're happy to be encouraging it everywhere.
Yep.
As far as I'm concerned, we're trying so hard to get our dance into the schools, and we've managed to do it a little bit. We have some of our people coming up and teaching classes. Because to me, I think if kids start very young, and it doesn't matter what they do, how they move. They just have to move to drum beats, move to music, move to something. Get to know your body, get to feel comfortable with it, get to feel comfortable with other people. and share space with people. Mm-hmm. Dancers have a really great sense of personal space, mm-hmm. and you hardly ever have a dancer like peering right over you and talking to you, which sometimes people do.
People taller than us.
I do, taller than us, yes, it could be. But also, you know, I've noticed that they have a certain grace in their lives as well as in their mm-hmm. in their work. So, you know, it's been a kind of mission of mine, I guess, because in my childhood, dance was an extremely important component. And I don't see why it should be just for a few people. You know, everybody yeah. can have that pleasure, mm-hmm. whether you're square dancing or doing a hula or doing, contra, yeah. absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I've always done that myself, whatever mm-hmm. I could do at I was able to do. I did. You know, I gave up my dreams of being Anna Pavlova when I was 11.
I was going to say, yeah. did you yeah, take ballet?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did take ballet. But I was pretty old when I got on my toes. I think I was 11. Mm-hmm. That's kind of late.
Oh, is it? That's old for a ballet dancer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to start, I think. Mm-hmm. So... Anyway, I gave up. Well, first of all, when we were growing up, not you, Debbie, you're just a young kid, but when Ellen and I were growing
the two
up,
of us,
we know. Were growing up, there wasn't a lot a woman could aspire to, right? You could be, well, important things. You could be a school teacher, you could be a nurse, mm-hmm. you could be a ballet dancer, mm-hmm. right? That was basically it. Right. I mean, you couldn't be a construction worker or a lawyer, or, I mean, you could be.
Right. Or a radio or personality.
A radio personality. That's right.
I remember they only men were announcers it's on the radio.
Right. That is right.
And I asked once, I don't know who I asked, but they said, oh, because women's voices are too high.
Oh.
And they're,
oh,
isn't that you know.
Ridiculous? Yeah, really.
Not as resonant or something. I don't know. What an excuse.
It is an excuse. And if you hear recordings of men's voices in the 40s, mm-hmm. they're kind of rather nasal like this, and they won't be that really good. Mm-hmm. Well, what was Rachel that? Maddow? She has an amazing voice, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I understand why that is. But I mean, that they make that excuse, but it's ridiculous because now we have some really great women in the thing. Even though... You know, even though, I mean, it's just a matter. I think it's a matter of training. Mm-hmm. It's what you hear. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my dream, and so I just devoured every conceivable kind of dance performance I could when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and you know, it just became a part of my life. And I guess we have music all around us all the time, and people are used to music, and you know, you flip on the radio or something. But mm-hmm. dance is just more, you know, it's just less accessible. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make it a little more accessible and not have to pay $65 or $80 to see a performance. Mm, so
right.
But this year I would say that I think it's one of our best programs ever. I say that every year.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But
it
I just encourage...
very good, I must say. Yes.
But, well, you know, the thing is, it's hard. I mean, we love David Parsons. He has been so good to us, mm-hmm. come up every year with his company. And as a matter of fact, he's now in residence mm-hmm. at the White House. And the Brown Barn, which is our dance barn, where they're rehearsing and working out dances. And he got a grant, a NISCA grant. I say, thank goodness.
It's New York State Council on the Arts.
New York State mm-hmm. Council on the Arts grant. We don't know how long they're going to be going on, but at least they got a grant for a four-week residency to be with us during this period. Excellent. And there's been outreach. For example, tonight is the second open rehearsal at 6:30 of the Parsons Company, free, open to everybody. Mm. He has been teaching his new dancers the repertoire, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's finished. They're just not wearing the costumes, and they were doing some run-throughs. They did last week. We had a sizable audience. They take questions afterwards. That's lots of people ask
great.
Questions.
Oh, good.
So tonight there is another performance.
And where is this performance,
and this
Judy
is at
Grunberg?
The, oh, Debbie, I thought you'd never ask. Under the Tent at PS21, mm-hmm. 2980 Route 66, Chatham, New York, 1 mile north of the Village.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to go around that circular?
Not if you come from the north. It all depends.
Oh, of course.
Right. But if you come from the south, which you might probably, mm-hmm. Yes, you have to go around the circle and head north on Route 66.
Correct.
And as a matter of fact, thank you for reminding me. I am meaning to put a sign. Mm-hmm. Remember there used to be a sign on the corner in front of the blue plate and it said Shaker Museum with an arrow?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Oh, well,
that was a while ago.
Yes, it was, but I feel like we should have a sign there.
Yeah.
And but you know what it is? It's the Department of Transportation that's in charge.
Oh, they won't let you do it?
I don't know. I have been remiss in contacting them. So, I mean, you can't just put up a sign. I mean, you could, but who knows how long it would stay up. So I feel that it should be on that corner, because for people who don't know.
Yeah, who aren't familiar.
Is there a route marker there showing
that? It says Route 66.
Route 66 goes.
And we will assume that it's north, because it doesn't say north, but it pretty much has to be north, because you've been coming north. Now, on the other hand, if you come from the north, say from North Chatham or Valencia or Kinderhook or Albany, you would probably, if you come from Albany, you would go north, because you'd be coming from I-90, but that's all something else.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
You won't even go there, right. but if you were coming from, say, North Chatham, then you would come down Route 66 south, and then you would turn right at the big sign. Mm-hmm. Now you would, if you come from the south, going north, you would turn left.
Correct. So you just turn at the blue plate.
You go in front of the on the side of the blue plate.
On the side,
exactly. Yeah. It's so close. I mean, you could walk. It's only a mile, you know, from the village. So that's what we say, 1 mile north of
the
village. It's on the recreation corridor.
Oh.
That's what we like to call it, because, you know, Crelin Park is there.
Oh, yes, right.
And we are, our border is the border of Crelin Park.
Oh, nice. Oh,
the boundary. Good. So it's Crelin Park, the town park with the swimming and the whatever other activities they have. They go a little further, and it's us.
Oh, good.
And, you know, we work with those guys. We're planning to partner with them in certain things like, you know, cross-country skiing, stuff like that, because we have this corridor of land that goes all along Route 66, so that's really nice.
Yeah.
Well, Judy.
Yes?
How many Chathams are there? It's so easy to get lost.
So many Chathams.
There's Old Chatham, New Chatham.
No New Chathams.
Chatham.
But right. We should have a New Chatham. Old Chatham, North Chatham, East Chatham.
Chatham Center.
Did I say old?
I think you
yes,
did.
And then of course there's Chatham
just
Village,
plain Chatham,
just plain Chatham,
and Chatham Village,
right? And then there's the town of Chatham that encompasses all of those small hamlets. The whole thing.
I'm amazed that the state of New York hasn't asked you to merge it all into one Chatham.
Oh, that would be pretty awful, wouldn't it?
It would be would be rebellion.
We want to retain our identity,
of course.
Even though no one wants to run those little places.
Right. Well, I would like to see, this is common knowledge. I mean, I've been saying this for a really long time. I would like to see the village of Chatham and the town of Chatham merge the governments.
Yes.
But there's a little complication, because the town of Ghent is part of the Chatham village. Village is in Ghent. And that's what is confusing.
My head is spinning.
So, you know, you have to work something out. How do we do that?
And, well, it's the 21st century. We can figure this out.
I think you are so right. I think better minds than I could probably spend a few minutes and get it all settled.
It's
true. You sometimes wonder, you know, there are hard things in the world, but some things shouldn't be that hard.
And if we can figure out the ward system in Hudson, you can figure out Chatham Village and Chatham Town.
That's right. That is something I don't understand.
That was a big change, a really big change.
Could you explain that now, even though I know it's a little off topic, because I'd like to know.
Well, in the city of Hudson, there have always been five wards. No, there haven't always been five wards. There were four wards for a very long time, and then a fifth ward, as the population grew, I guess, was created.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the boundaries were drawn, but somehow they were drawn. And it meant that based on population, the wards carried different weight depending on how many people lived in that ward.
And the populations varied tremendously within one city.
Of course, I understand that.
And populations change and shift.
Right.
And I think the people that drew the boundaries in the beginning probably were trying to encompass certain communities. They didn't want to break communities up.
Was it sort of like gerrymandering or not? Because that's more for, political reasons.
Well, so of course, people are always accused of gerrymandering the minute they try to change something. I lived in the third ward, and I was an alderman, and my weight included not only the population of the people who lived in the third ward, but the people who were in the correction facility at the time of the election. So I had more, my weight, my, not my weight,
your, but your
my vote
yeah.
Was worth more because... I had the prisoners were also included.
Well, but that's
in the population.
You had a greater population, correct?
Yeah, I had
and
a
so
population.
Your vote had a greater weight.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes,
but that changed later.
My congressional district changed a few years ago, as you may know.
Right.
I have a different person now than assembly person. I mean, my assembly district. I don't mean my congressional. My assembly.
Oh,
district
you mean
changed.
Your assembly district?
Because Dee Dee Barrett. Was at one time my assemblywoman, and she no longer is.
I
so
see.
They did,
that changes too.
Well, as populations changed and everything, and the fifth ward grew quite a bit, the strength of the votes in the five wards also shifted because it was based on population.
Right.
That
okay.
one thing. Rather than each alderman having one vote, they had like 300 votes over here and 298 over here and 327 here. And it was all, so it becomes, in a sense, more political because if you get together with this ward, and the two of you vote and you have the biggest population between you, then you have more influence.
Okay.
For a long time, we, discussed changing it so that everybody had equal power. And that's
sounds
what
like
it's all about.
Sounds like an interesting idea.
Yes.
Isn't it?
And that's what finally happened, so that now the five wards have approximately the same population.
Yeah.
Within a handful of people.
I see.
So
all
it's right. one man, one vote.
One
correct.
Man, one vote.
One man or woman.
One man or woman.
One person, one
person.
Vote.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we won't even go into the latest Trump. Oh, no, I didn't say that.
No, come on. No. Everybody has already hit the remote. Let's go back to what we were talking about.
Oh, right.
About.
That's
And let me just say that we're talking with Judy Grunberg. I'm Ellen Thurston.
I'm Debbie Mayer.
And we're pleased to have Judy here, and we want to hear more about PS21 in Chatham.
On WGXC 90.7 ACRA.
All right. Well, we'll just finish up on our
dance
program.
Yes.
That's
Let's talk about
the last
dance.
Program.
Okay.
So, this year we have five companies. Now, Parsons Dance has usually ended the season, but because they have this year a residency in July, it had to be in July because during August there are every week there's a different dance company in residence, and they are here for either 3 days or 4 days or 5 days, and they have to live in our lodging, and we can't have two companies in there at once.
Do you have you have lodging?
We have a wonderful old farmhouse that has been converted to a lodging for our artists. There's a big, beautiful communal kitchen. There are something like 6 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms and a lot of fire escapes on the outside, which we were required to construct.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, now, luckily, this is not a really historic house, or we probably would not be permitted to do such a thing. But it's really nice on a summer evening. The dancers come out and stand on the fire escape talk and drink their wine or whatever. Anyway, so this year, Parsons Dance is starting this series August 4th and 5th.
Okay.
And I think I don't have to say anything about Parsons because everybody sort of knows about him. And, if I meet a friend somewhere in the winter and I say, "Hey, you're coming up to the 10th this summer," they usually say, "Oh, we always go to Parsons."
Mm.
So we're trying to get people to to try to vary their dance experiences.
I always go
a little
to the tap dancing myself.
Yeah. Love it this summer.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So we, you know, I think we even have this thing now where if you buy a ticket to Parsons, you can buy a ticket to some other company for half price. I mean, we're just thinking of all the gimmicks to encourage people to see what the variety is in dance, because, you know, sure. We all know Parsons, and he's great, and they travel all over the world. But a lot of these other companies, especially some of these younger companies coming up, have a lot of very interesting work. So speaking about tap dancing,
yes,
I would have to tell you, now I'm going to skip for a minute to the third company, the fourth company, which is Efrat Asheri Dance. Now, Efrat is an amazing, she's an urban dancer. They used to call her Efrat Bounce Asheri. I mean, she's trained in ballet and modern, but she found that hip-hop and house dancing was her thing.
Oh, wow.
And she is extraordinary. She had she danced with Michelle Dorans, who is very, very well-known and famous, for a while. And unbeknownst to me, and I had seen her, and I fell in love with her stuff, and we hired her to dance, to do bring her company up. I did not know at the time that she had worked on a dance for the Parsons Company.
Oh, my goodness.
And I saw this at the Joyce this this spring, and it's amazing how those dancers were used to seeing doing certain kinds of dancing that is Parsons style. All of a sudden, they became hip-hoppers.
Oh.
And you will see that this summer, because one of the dances they're doing is choreographed by Efrat.
Oh, great.
And then you will see Efrat herself in person 2 weeks later
Good.
Doing all kinds of, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I don't even
know. Is she doing solo dancing?
She does solo, but she has a company, you know, too. But she's a wonderful solo dancer. Now, speaking of tap, the second week, which is August 11th, 12th, I haven't been saying the dates, Caleb Teicher. Now, here's a guy. He is a young, brilliant, brilliant tapper whom we saw last summer in one of our companies, whose name now escapes me, Brock. Something Brock. Chase Brock. Oh, how could I forget? He was dancing with the company Chase Brock, and we noticed him. He just stood out, and I started to talk with him after, and he said, well, you know, I have my own company. And I said, oh, really? And they do something, and he is going to be doing a duet with somebody who has been up here several times before with Vannevar. I don't know if you know Vannevar Dance.
I remember Vannevar, yeah.
Well, this is, why can't I think of his name? Because I know what his name is. It's Nathan. Nathan Bew. Nathan Bew is this amazing swing dancer. I don't know if you remember. He is amazing, and he and Caleb are doing a duet, which I cannot wait to see, which is going to be extraordinary, because the two of them are, they're very different types, but the idea of them together is that's a picture of the two of them, right, exactly. And then he does something that is so moving to me. He does a small tap dance that he created for, I think, a trio to a few of the Goldberg variations, but it is so subtle and slow, and it's not at all frenetic, and, you know, who would know? I mean, I think that Bach is a composer that works well with certain of his works. Of course, there's the famous Jerome Robbins Dances at a Gathering. Oh, excuse me, no, not Dance at a Gathering. It's Goldberg Variations, I mean, where he used the Goldberg Variations, and there are other companies that have been using it. It seems to be the year of the Goldbergs for some reason.
Yes.
But I think you will see that how beautiful that is. So Caleb Teicher is the second in our list. Then three comes Monica Bill Barnes. Mm-hmm. Now, they had Monica Bill Barnes and company just consists actually of Monica Bill Barnes and Anna Bass, her partner.
Was she here last year?
She was here about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Small audience. People who came loved it. It's just hard to get people to have people who knew about her. But now I think more people will know.
Mm-hmm.
She was at our gala. She and Anna performed at our gala last spring. And then Was it spring? Was it last winter? I can't remember when it was.
Yeah,
anyway,
I can't remember.
But they did the, where they dress up in men's suits and they do this amazing thing called Happy Hour, where they, one of their their manager, their partner, or their friend passes out bourbon to everybody. And it was like happy hour. I'd seen it in the city, and it's wonderful. It's they do this after work in New York and around and in different places around the country. It lasts for about an hour, and they come out like two very macho kind of guys, you know, with all their tricks and their, you know, their showing off and so forth. And they are screamingly funny because underneath they're very insecure, and it's very poignant. There's something about Monica Bill Barnes that shows us all our frailties, but also, you know, all the stuff that we try to hide underneath. And it's very moving. It certainly is dance, but it's also a theater in a way. And they have a new work that they're going to be premiering here or trying out in Chatham called The Tonight, For This Night Only, I believe it's called. And I have not seen it. But the two of them are just wonderful. So I highly recommend those guys. That's August 18th and 19th. Mm-hmm. Now, and then we have Efrat Asheri on the next weekend. Then we have Christopher Morgan, who has been the dance person at Art Omai for many, many years. Oh. He runs the dance program dance residency. Uh-huh. And he is bringing his work called Pohaku, which reflects his Hawaiian background and ancestry. And it's a solo dance. And he does, it's something that he does with stones. He does with native music and hula and jazz and different things. Mm. And it's quite interesting. And that's the last thing on the program in the weekend of Labor Day. Friday and Saturday of Labor Day.
Oh.
And
that ends the season.
And that ends the season.
Wow.
And so it's,
I'm,
you know,
exhausted.
Very diverse.
Me too, yes.
So you guys, I mean, I absolutely, you know, try to make a trip up there, everybody, at least once or twice, and see
us.
Well,
they occasionally run a bus down to the Ankrum Opera House. Are you going to start running a bus up to Chatham?
Oh, what a great idea.
Isn't that a great idea?
I think it is a great idea. Yeah. We should really do that. I mean, from here and a few stops along the way, maybe?
Maybe.
Sure.
Right. Well, you know, we've been talking about that in some committee that I'm on. I can't remember which one it is now.
Uh-huh. The bus committee.
The bus. It is actually the bus committee. Yes.
It
is the bus committee on another committee.
Yes.
Part of another committee.
Right.
That I think Adam Weinert is the head of this committee. Well, I've only been to
who's
one.
Who's the head of it?
I think Adam Weinert, the dancer who just did something at the Opera House. I was not able to go because it was
Monument. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, it's sort of sad in a way because we keep wanting all of us to see each other's work, and we can't because it's all happening at the same time.
I know.
Well,
you know.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous.
Somebody has
busy
to coordinate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that. Remember what Irma Bombeck said?
What?
I mean, well, she said something, or maybe it was somebody, maybe it was Einstein, but somebody said.
Irma Bombeck, who wrote The Joy of Cooking?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Irma Bombeck.
She's the one that said if it wasn't for the last minute, nothing would get done.
Right. That's Irma Bombeck.
Irma Bombeck. But she also said something, if it wasn't for time, everything would happen all at once or something. But anyway, somebody said that. Maybe that's physics or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I
and
am
you know
disappointed.
What else she said? I want to interrupt.
Yes,
you know what else
what?
Irma Bombeck said?
What?
She said, seize the day. Remember all those ladies on the Titanic who waved away the dessert train.
Oh. Right. That is very, very cool.
Yes.
We should have a whole program of just these things.
Yes.
Because there's so many of them.
Yes.
That stay.
That would
in
be
our
fun.
Heads.
I know.
Just talk about Irma Bombeck.
Yeah.
I mean, she has so many great things.
She does. She was great.
I love it. You know, when she says she read in the paper that there was a tiny spark and the whole house burned down after a few hours. She said, why is it that I get my husband? We get two Sundays of the New York Times, crunch him up, use, you know, five cigarette lighters, and we can't get the fire to start. Something like that. Anyway.
Really? Yes.
So is there
all
anything
right.
else you
well,
need
let's
to know?
See. What would you like to know?
Let's see. Oh, well, we do. Oh, I forgot to mention the free Fridays for Kids.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you have a lot of programs
for
kids.
We have Just for Fun Fridays. This is a tradition that has been going on for a number of years. Every Friday starting, July 21st, going through August 18th, we have a free event for children and their parents, if they want, or they kids camps, come bring their kids. Mm-hmm. This week is going to be Sherry Bauer Mayorga, and this is she's going to be leading Songs and Sounds of Freedom. So, and Lincoln Mayorga, her husband, is going to be accompanying. And she'll share different songs, like Factory Girl and Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around and We the People and a bunch of different songs we may remember from our youths. Mm-hmm. And she'll get everybody singing. And then we have the next week, Parsons Dance. This is a first that Parsons is going to do a show for kids.
As far as I remember,
they have never done that before. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be wonderful. It's a special thing. And then they actually get some audience members up on the stage. And you know what happens? We've done this every year with a different company. The kids love it. They scramble to get up on the stage, especially these little guys who just are jumping around like crazy. And you keep thinking, oh, God, if they could just keep doing this, if they could just do this every day, it would so make so much life so much better for everybody. Yeah. And then the next week, Caleb Teicher, whom I was talking about, the Tapper, he's going to do a show for kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just for children, Debbie. If you can come up, I mean, at 1 o'clock on a Friday, and hang out with us.
That would be fun.
I want to be a kid.
I know, I do too. I do too. But I think I'm a long way. I'm still there. You know what? You know what Picasso said?
No, what did Picasso say?
It takes a long time to grow young.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we can,
I didn't know that one. I just know I was older than that now. I'm younger than that now.
That's right.
Younger than I was.
Well, that's right.
That's
well, I'm listening to one of my favorite writer's books. That's because I don't have time to read.
Right.
I'm listening to Anne Tyler's Back When We Were Grown-Ups.
Oh,
do you know that story?
I don't. Is that an older book of hers or is it something new?
It's not very new, but I don't think it's very old either.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I've read just about most things, but I've now ordered from the library two or three that I hadn't read.
Good.
I still remember Dinner at the Homesick Restaurant, which I think was my favorite book up until that time. And everything I've read of hers. But this book actually addresses that subject a little bit. You would probably like it. I didn't know what it meant, but I now just know because I got to the part back when we were grown-ups.
Back when
we
were grown-ups.
She feels that she's changed and she's become less mature than she used to be.
Right. Oh, I'd love to read that.
You would love it. You would really love it. We could call it the book show.
We could have a book show. That would be wonderful. We've got about 1 minute before we have to start the news and stuff. The show doesn't end. You can hang around for as long as you like.
Oh, okay.
So we've been talking to Judy Grunberg, who's the founder and artistic director of PS21, Performance Spaces for the 21st Century, where we're well into now, in Chatham on Route 66. And, of course, they have a website. You have to remember Chatham, ps21chatham.org, and you can look up the programs there and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's right. We keep it up to date, and so we'd love to see you up there.
The program sounds great, Judy. It really does. It's always great, but this sounds particular.
Takes us a while to get into the stride of things, you know. It's only been 12 years. We're starting the second 12 years now.
Exactly.
And our 13th season, we will be in the new building.
Yes.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Okay.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Judy. We have 7 seconds
Debbie
to thank
and
you.
Ellen. All right. Thank you, girls.
Girls. Oh, thank you for calling us girls.